Without being attached by sex, the husband and wife may live together for the advancement of spiritual life. The husband should engage in devotional service and the wife should be faithful and religious according to the Vedic injunctions. Such a combination is very good. However, if the husband becomes too much attracted to the wife due to sex, the position becomes very dangerous. Women in general are very much sexually inclined. Indeed, it is said that a woman's sex desire is 9 times stronger than a man's. It is therefore a man's duty to keep a woman under his control by satisfying her, giving her ornaments, nice food and clothes, and engaging her in religious activities. Of course, a woman should have a few children, and in this way, not be disturbing to the man. Unfortunately, if the man becomes attracted to the woman simply for sex enjoyment, then family life becomes abominable. The great politician, Chanakapana, has said, Bharya Rupavati Satru, a beautiful wife is an enemy. Of course, every woman in the eyes of her husband is very beautiful. Others may see her as not very beautiful, but the husband, being very much attracted to her, sees her always as very beautiful. If the husband sees the wife as very beautiful, it is assumed that he is too much attracted to her. This attraction is the attraction of sex. The whole world is captivated by the two modes of material nature, Rajagun and Tamagun, passion and ignorance. Generally, women are very much passionate and are less intelligent, therefore, somehow or other, a man should not be under the control of their passion and ignorance. By performing bhakti yoga or devotional service, a man can be raised to the platform of goodness. If a husband situated in the mode of goodness can control his wife, who is in the passion and ignorance, the woman is benefited. Forgetting her natural inclination for passion and ignorance, the woman becomes obedient and faithful to her husband, who is situated in goodness. Such a life becomes very welcome. The intelligence of the man and woman may then work very nicely together, and they can make a progressive march toward spiritualization. Otherwise, the husband, coming under control of the wife, sacrifices his quality of goodness and becomes subservient to the qualities of passion and ignorance. In this way, the whole situation becomes polluted. The conclusion is that a household life is better than a simple life devoid of responsibility. But if the household life, the husband becomes subordinate to the wife, involvement in materialistic life again becomes prominent. In this way, a man's material bondage becomes enhanced. Because of this, according to the Vedic system, after a certain age, a man is recommended to abandon his family life for the stage of the vanaprastha and sannyas. Om Gyanata Manandasya Yanana Sharakya Shakshomitan Yena Tasmay Shri Yudhave Namaha Yatarachana Sati Yasmin Vistira Sukhuram Mare Vistitari Kiyasi Shat Shri Chitayana Nanamitam Vanchakalpa Tadubhishya Vipasana Vyevacha Patitam Pavnevyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasri Guru Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. My spiritual master said that marriage doesn't work. It's hard work. You have to work at it. So we see this example of King Paranjana. And it's really amazing who's speaking such a story. It's Narada Muni, who's a nasty brahmachari, talking about the sex life between a man and a woman. And especially with King Paranjana enjoying his queen. Obviously, it's an allegory story because he's preaching to King Pachinabhati. So, because if you were to preach charity, you are a lusty, sinful, attached householder, who will take such a criticism? Especially a king who's very proud. So, he says some story. Actually, it's not you, someone else. It actually is you. is attached to his clean and materialistic life. So, as we heard previously, King Karan is only hunting without the queen. The queen represents intelligence. So, without consulting intelligence, going hunting represents simple life. Prabhupada points out that this is the basis of us being in the material world. Devoid of intelligence, real intelligence. Real intelligence is Nami Buddhi Yoga Tal. It means that we constantly are serving Krishna, Teshan Satatarita, Vajitam Kriti Purukam, doing Vajana with Kriti, with affection with Krishna, with Purva, with affection, Purva. That Krishna within the heart gives intelligence of how to come to him. That is the main desire of the Mahatma, to have association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He, the Mahatma, has two of them, but even Prakriti Ashuta, Vijatiyana, Manasur, Kyanta, Bhutta, Dimahapiyam, that the Mahatmas who are constantly dedicating their lives to the Lord are under the Devi Prakriti, they're under the spiritual energy, they're under the shelter of Srimati Rendra through devotional service. Knowing the Lord to be inexhaustible and everlasting. So, what is the symptom of the Mahatma? The next verse is Satatam Kirti Yantamam, they're always chanting the holy name of the Lord, the glory of the Lord. With great determination they endeavor so much, they're always connected to the Lord, Nijiyu to the Pasate. So this is where we're supposed to come to. But unfortunately, in the material world, due to forgetfulness of the Lord, trying to be Krishna, trying to be the Purush, but actually we are Prakriti, we are the enjoyer, we are not the enjoyer. The whole purpose of human life is not to be a competitor of God, but to be a cooperator. That is the purpose of this uniform life. We may do so many simple activities. You know, everyone, there's always this talk of karma. You know, oh, that's just your bad karma. But if you do good karma, they counteract it. And there's always speculation, what is actually good karma? If I do something good to someone, how old they cross the road, you know? Or what if that lady was like some serial killer, you know, and you have to cross the road to help her without a murder? It's always mixed when you speculate on what actually is beneficial for us. That's why Arjuna, he refused to fight, and all his reasons not to fight were correct according to scripture. But it did not make him happy. You may know everything, you may be correct, but if it doesn't make you happy, you didn't. You missed the point. That's why he went to Krishna. He gave all his reasons, and then all of a sudden he's just totally indecisive. Kavana Dosha Pahapaswava, Chamitam Dhamma Samudhe, Chetaha, Yeshyansiyan Yeshyatam Buritana, Sishyate Hamsar Mamsar Prakara. My Lord, I'm completely confused about what to do. What is my duty? Please tell me for certain what is best for me. Now I'm your servant, the soul. I'm your disciple, servant unto you. Please instruct me. So we must take instruction from the Lord, from Bhagavad Gita, from Srimad Bhagavatam, from the spiritual master. This is the best way to be happy. So many millions of lifetimes have tried to be happy in this Maituna Agraha, this material world which means the practice of sex life. One time I was doing books, sometimes I do books, not just time. So I was actually here in Melbourne, I was on Swanston Street, and the cops arrested someone. Some guy was doing something, they arrested him, put him down, you know, beat him up a bit, and then put him in handcuffs, you know, inside the cops, he knows about handcuffs and beating people up, you know, causing trouble, he's like a kshatriya. So he puts him in the handcuffs, you know, and then everyone's watching, and then they put him in the back of the panel van. And then I was thinking, okay, everyone's watching. What are they thinking when they watch this guy being arrested? okay, I better not do what he's doing, otherwise I'll get the shackles. But we're here in the material world, and we will think, please put the shackles on. The shackles of sex. Krishna says, Kamayesha Kroyesha Rajagunasuma, Vashara Mahaprabha, being an Advarana, that is lost only due to the contact of the mode of passion, which develops into wrath. It's the all-around simple enemy of the world. This is the number one enemy in our lives. It's lust. That lust is our number one enemy. It's not ISIS. It's not Al-Qaeda. It's not the government. It's not the Australian cricket team or the Indian cricket team. It's not the New Zealand cricket team. This year. No, it's lust. What is lust? I'll be in here for 300 but calm. It's trying to fulfill the desires of this body, the pushings of the senses of the body. Very well, Prabhupada told my mind that the great necessity of the living entity is prema, love for Krishna. Krishna, that by fulfilling the dear pleasure of the sense of Krishna, that is the necessity of the living entity. And by doing that, Savadam Purita Jam, Mamakam, Shandam Rajam, Hamtam Savapapya Guru, Moksham Masacham, surrender unto me, forget all these other religious activities and processes, this yam yam, ramta, dhamma, the sacrifice, vows, and charity. You just serve with me, perform bhakti yoga. What is bhakti yoga? Sat the party being done. Takpadatyanamana, vishikina, vishikesha, serena, bhakti, uchite. You give up all designations of this material. You're not South African, you're not Indian, you're not a man, you're not a woman, you know, you're not rich or poor. You've got nothing to do with this material. All designations are by form bhakti yoga. Takpadatyanamana. Any other material reaction is completely removed. How is it done? By engaging the senses in the service of the master of the senses. That is bhakti yoga. That is bhakti yoga. And what is that? Hamsam Sabhapapya Vimokshami Nasuchya. Don't fear. Doesn't matter how much simple activity you've done. Doesn't matter how much pious activity you've done. Even if you do pious activity, you stay there. It's another story. One time, like in India, I know in India they do it, right? I went and brushed up the parikram. So you go through the villages, chanting Hare Krishna, Bulaka, and throwing bananas everywhere. I'll tell more about that. I'll talk about that. So it's really fun. You should do it. It's we go with one of the women in Karsharam. So he does food for life in the UK. He does 5,000 plates. Every day to the homeless and students. It's amazing. We've got an amazing kitchen. It's called Krishna Castle. So how they got it, we used to cook in a manor, but then they had to move out of there. And, one hotel manager, he has like an open basement. So he just gave him a basement. What you're doing is really good. This is all for you. They build a nice kitchen in there, and they decorate like a castle on the inside. So as you walk in, alright, and you walk in, you see this, they built this huge, like, I don't know, it's like papier-mâché, it's huge, it's probably as big as this temple building. On machine day, like this, once you walk in, the lights are, the eyes are going to be lights on them and stuff. You walk in, the wall, you know, and then you come in, and and then it's all set up, and he cooks there 5,000 plates every day. Every time there's like some protest, like Extinction Rebellion, they come and feed all the protesters, and even protesters help out, cut up. And there's another university called SOAS, Studies for Asian Studies. And they've been there for so many years. And there's one devotee named Craig Harina. He's been serving for Shadows of the students for so many years, like 20 years or something like that. So Radha Sami was giving a lecture there, and it was an amazing lecture, this and that. And cut a little bit there. And then the
the students, they organize like a certificate of appreciation for Prem Harinath. We like to call Prem Harinath to the stage. And this is a certificate of appreciation for all the students. The students just went wild. Woo! Yeah! The whole auditorium went wild like, for like 10 minutes. They don't stop clapping. And he's super humble. He's just like... So anyway, Parashram every year, he comes to Vrindavan. And he does the Vrajananda, like Lokanath Swami, like thousand devotees that set up tents of that. But he goes with Bulakar, and like four or five devotees go with him. And we just chant in front of the Bulakar, going through different villages of Praj. And then he's been doing it for like 25 years also. So what happens is that, say kids like your age will sing, how old are you, Christian?
Nine.
So it's after 20 years, you're like 29, right? So when you're like 20 in the village, you get set up with a wife and then you marry and have kids and you know, you grow up there in the village. So the kids who saw Parashram when they're 9, when he was like coming through from the bananas everywhere, and they're like, yeah, and they're catching like everything, they're beating each other up. The whole village comes in, old people and old ladies and stuff. And it's just the whole village, they know it's Prashadam. And we get like small books, 40,000 small books, 40 tons of bananas for this whole month, we distribute. And then you all just get happy, you know. It's something small, they don't need it. They got like fresh produce, they got their field, they're growing fresh wheat, growing the best chapatis you ever eat ever. You know, the Brajavasi roti. That's up there, so we did that stuff. Brajavasi rotis. And you come through, and you know, the kids already know, they tell the other kids, and then everyone comes out of the house, and you just cry, they're like, ah! And then like, they're fighting each other for the bananas, you know, one ball when they come, and he's like, coming into the car, and trying to give him something, and then he trips, and he kind of falls into the, like, the drain, right? And no one tries to help him, they all just laugh at him. And then like, we go to Adibhadrina, and they're the most craziest kids. So for them, we don't have bananas, we have oranges. Because they always try and climb onto the car, so you have to throw the orange far away. So they like stay away from the car. And like, they want oranges as well. They know every year it's orange, you know. And like, you know, the national sport in India is cricket. So, you know, so they get to show they're catching seals and stuff. And they beat each other like anything, these kids, it's amazing. And then, when you go in front of someone's like, hut or house like that, so they see that like, you know, we're coming past, so they start calling out, so we throw into the house, you know, it's not really a house, it's like a hut, and they built the sides up with the mud, and they keep all the cows on the inside. So anyway, you're throwing in, and you know, the ladies, you see them in the morning, they're carrying the cow down in the bowl, like that. So they don't care, they throw the cow down and they try to catch it in the bowl. Sometimes they miss, and sometimes all the kids just, they know where we're going to throw it, so they go into the house, right? And they try to catch the oranges or the bananas. And sometimes they miss, and it's like rolling on the floor, and the kids are running. This lady, she doesn't care, she wants orange too, she starts beating the kids with the bowl. It just turns into a festival. I really like it. Yeah. And then what happens? We camp out there. We don't like. We're not with a big program, but we camp out there, and it's really nice. You just sleep under the star of the sun. But for dinner, we go door to door, butter powder, you know, and we're like, Radisham, roti hand, sabji hand, sabjis. And then they eat rotis and stuff and sabjis. It's really cool. And then you come back to the car and then you just sit there and start your hands on that stuff. Which bus the earth is before going to bed. It's really cool. Oh yeah, before that, we sit up in the village, there's a projector on the car. And then we play like, you know, Ram Lila or Krishna Lila. And the whole village comes, the whole thing, they're all sitting there. Alright. And then there's one small little video at the end, and it's like in Vrijavasi language, and it's showing how the West is useless. You know, they're killing the cow, little suffering, so much war and violence. And, you know, they don't even have fresh produce, you know. They don't even have Krishna. You have Krishna, you have the land, you have the cows. You got the best life here. It's the best material life, actually, that village life. Because they got everything they need. You see them. I think I said last time, but it still amazes me, you know. They do a few work in the hour on the field, and the whole day is in front of the house, doing nothing. Just chilling. The ladies, they work hard, they milk the cow, they fetch water in the morning, and they do their prayers. Everyone gets up like 2:30, and they do their prayers early in the morning, you know. We don't wake up that time, but they wake us up. They're like sleeping, and the next door, so they're chanting all the prayers and singing for the girls. And then also the old men, they do hurrying on 3 in the morning through the village. Yeah. They're like, Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam. And then they come and say, I'll tell them, Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam. Radhe Shyam. Thank you. So, the point of any ashram is to be as old and Krishna conscious, just like the rich person. That's what we're supposed to be. Actually, we are rich persons. We're family now. We're to God. That's our real family in Krishna. Not this temporary family that we made just now. It's fake. Doesn't exist fully. And that's what the Bhagavatam is emphasizing. It's always knocking down the hustle a lot. Yeah, because we have a tendency to be attached materially. That's the tendency of living as it, to stay and be attached to the temporary situation. But that's foolish. Imagine you're on the tram, you know, and then someone sits across from you for like a few stops, and then they go, like, what are you doing? Where are you going? Dude, we had so much. We spent so much time together. Why are you going now? Stay. No. It sounds foolish, right? But we treat this lifetime in the same way. We have like temporary family members, temporary friends, everything like that. But we know Sri Rama Sabha Bhutana that the best friend is Krishna. He's your eternal best friend. Actually, Lord Chaitanya is your best friend. He's giving the medicine of Mahamantra. He's your best friend. Jeev Jada, Bhoga Chandra Bhoda, Bhutanita, Bhoda. How long will you sleep in the lap? We must wake up to this. Lord Garanga is calling us to become Hare Krishna's family. So, in this verse, in this purport, I don't know if you noticed, in one paragraph, Prabhupada is pointing out that the household life must be Krishna conscious, where the husband and the wife cooperate together, they're not attached to sex life, but they work together to advance spiritually. So he says, he says three times, however, if he's attached to his wife as, you know, or to enjoyment, then it's problems, then it's abominable. So three times in one paragraph. So that we need to be reminded again and again. This is hearing, this is education, repetition must be there. So obviously the sex desire can be engaged by having children. When one has children, then the selfishness obviously is cut down, and then we focus on the children. And you already set a good example for them, so then they'll become devotees. Yeah, I'll give an example of me. I became devotees because my parents, when I was born, they were devotees, but my father became a devotee in the family. But me, my brother, and my mother weren't. And what happened, he's like, okay, I'm going to give Krishna consciousness to my family. Good luck. He had like supreme tolerance and patience. I don't know how he did it. It was insane. Like, this is a good example of the patience and tolerance he had. I was working in a bar for 2.5 years. I didn't drive. He would drive me. It's a half an hour drive from there. He would drive me to Brunswick Street. Right, is it? He would drive me there at 9:00 PM, and he says, you don't get a lift home, you don't say someone says you call me when you finish your job. I didn't work at 4 AM. For him, he was like, cool. He was happy because if I would call, he would wake up early and do his own laundry. So he would call me and he would come pick me up and drive me back. 2.5 years.
And then each way he would preach to me about Krishna consciousness. But I didn't know it was Krishna consciousness. Like, for example, he would say on the way, because there's all many bars and pubs, and he goes, "This is all mine." I go, "What's mine?" He goes, "This is illusion." I go, "If I was prime minister, I would close down all the bars." And I go, "Dad, no one's going to vote for you then." But he was super tolerant again and again. He would just preach it, and it was going in, you know. I remember saying, thinking that, what if he said was correct, but I can't follow it? I respected it, and came really close. Eventually, Maya kicked me in the left, right, center. And then I was thinking, maybe I should change it up. And actually, I had a girlfriend, and I was complaining to her about, I don't understand my dad, you know? He's always reading this like Mahabharata, Bhagavad Gita. I'm just contradicting him. And she goes, "Why don't you read it too?" And then, Bhagavad Gita is all about war, because it's on the cover. It's all about war. She said, "No, I should read it." So I went to read it. I read the first 7 pages of the introduction, closed it shut. And I was like, "Oh my God." Prabhupada just went, "Bang, bang, bang. You rascal. You're a fool. You're doing everything wrong. Bang." And then after a year being with this girl in New York, I was all depressed and stuff, and I remember that everything, like, in whatever I tried for material life didn't work out, it was all wrong. So I remember that I went to my friends at the hospital, don't worry, get it out of the house. You know, I went to my girl and I said, "Oh, you're a good guy." And I was like, "No, I'm not a good guy. I think it's wrong. So I'm not a good guy." And the only thing that said I was saying the wrong thing was Bhagavad Gita. So I went back to my dad. Okay. You know, after being smashed and bashed out of my mind. Can I Bhagavad Gita? Hey, you know, imagine like you're a parent and your child is a complete mind. And then he comes to the everybody with Peter and like a submissive mood. He'd be like, "Yeah, sure, son." And he wasn't like that. He was just like, "Yeah, well, I'm gonna ask your mom." You know, he didn't care. He was like, "Expert." I go, "Okay." So I went to my mom and she gave me signs of self-realization. So apparently, at the Sunday feast, there was one master giving class. I said, "This fool changed my life." So they actually bought it for me. They were ready for me. That book was sitting ready. And I remember I was walking through the city all the time. I see this book distributors all the time. Rajanara always trying to stop me. And I never stopped. So merciful, but I couldn't receive the mercy. So I read the book, and same thing, Prabhupada slapped me, and lucky I had my dad there. And things I couldn't understand, I would ask him, I'd go, like, "What's in my body? What is that?" He goes, "Oh, my bodies? So they're actually trying to be God." I go, "Why would you want to do that, Krishna?" "Yeah, they're trying to be God." And I was thinking, "Why would you do that?" And then I read Krishna book, I said, "Oh, I'm trying to be God." Trying to be Christian again. So he did really hard for that. Pretty much 6 months later, after reading the book, I moved into the ashram and didn't move out. Yeah, my mom didn't bet on that, but it's fine. It's all good. So yeah, and when I became dirty, then my mom would see about the devotional service. And it was, and I could see. Because my parents were fighting so much before and so much disagreement, when Krishna consciousness came into the program, especially when I became a devotee, then at least the relationship, there wasn't so much like heavy fighting, at least some disagreement, but you know, they're carrying on life. And I saw that. And it's a big deal when you put Krishna consciousness in. It's hanging out with a woman, it's 9 times more lustier, and greatly influenced by Rajan and Tamil woman.
You know, but it says here by devotional service, the man liberates the mode of goodness. So as a mode of goodness, we are free from the contact of Rajagun at least. And in the mode of goodness, then life is happy. That's the symptom of the mode of goodness. At least you have a happy material life. And that's what the village life is. It's actually the mode of goodness. You see the way you can sleep there. You can sleep early. Early to rise, early to bed, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. This is the mode of goodness. And when that happens and the mode of goodness becomes prominent, or devotion service becomes prominent, then, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, that my house is your house. My wife is your maidservant, my children are your children. By Krishna Kirtan, by Krishna Kirtan, I'm understanding to go look. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to turn our homes into good luck. And by introducing more, you pretty much have to make it fun. So we have some house programs, like the stock standard house program. Okay, we're going to have a kirtan, we're going to have a lecture, and then we're going to push out and go. You know, well, let's introduce different things. We're going to do a play in there. You know, we did a procession with the deities the other day. We were at Hunya Pelika Mataji's house, and she had an anniversary for Purim time. And we did kirtan, and then we took them on procession in Tanya. And Tanya is in the sticks. It's in Wuk Wuk. It's in the middle of nowhere. There's nothing there. There's like not much there, you know. Because we came, we landed that morning. We came from Avalon. So Jay's from South Africa, and he's thinking, oh, we're going to go to the Hari Nam Swami town. It's going to be really nice, you know. And he comes, it's like, it's like a ghost town. It's like nothing here. It's a country place, you know. Hardly an airport, looks like a bus station. So anyway, we go to Thailand. This is kirtan, and then we start taking the deities out of possession. And then everyone comes out of their home. And they're like, what's going on here? What's this festival going on here? And we have books with us, and everyone's taking a book, and we start, and there's like a lot of Sudanese Africans, you know, and they're like, oh, festival, okay. And then you go, Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna! But I was thinking, like, yeah, this is what we should do. Like, you know, Mahaprabhu, he was Grihastha, he was a householder, he started the same time with him. He was in a Ramachandra, so he was having a household life. And he, you know, went to the Chandrakasi's house. So I'm thinking, yeah, let's make a revolution. Like, imagine every housework, there's millions of housewares in Mahaprabhu, right? And, like, okay, so, you know, there's different parts of Victoria. Maybe most of them are staying in the Western side, right? Each householder, every time there's a house program, you just take the whole house program, just around the block. That's what we did. And it was a big impact. We even went inside someone's house and just ripped it to pieces and then broke the house. Yeah. You know, and then you come back, everyone's just like exhilarated. You know, you're growing inside, like they're shining, they're like on fire. You know, being taken out and see the neighbors, you know. And that's what, actually, like, we think that Rabbi Balaba is, like, the presiding deity of only this temple. No, the presiding deity of Rabbi, their influence is all over Rabbi. You can see it. When we go higher, when the deities are, like, worshipped so amazingly and nicely, their mercy is just emanating and affecting all people, you know. It's affecting the whole city. And then when you go home, you can see that effect. And you start chanting and dancing. Like, the nearest place is in Kill the Beach, right? And like, every time you do Bhairavas in Kill the Beach, it's like,
You can't do it half. You have to do it full. On Christmas Day, we went after the feast, so we were already intoxicated. So we kind of fit in there. Kind of fit in where they wanted. They're like, oh, they're like us. And it was packed, it was chock-a-block from like 4 o'clock, and we went till 9:30. You know, they just wouldn't go away. So many people were joining in like anything. I think some videos in there, some photos in there. You go on the beach, you know, people have these beach parties, like, oh, no, beach party, yeah, calm, you know, it's really cool, they just drink. This is a party for them, I'm telling you straight. Don't ever go to a bar and act up, I'll tell you what it's like, it's boring as hell. Okay, all they do, this is all they do, right? Okay, loud music is going on, right? And they just stand there, right? And they go one drink and alcohol. And they're just like trying to talk to their friend, because the music's so loud, they have to yell at their friend. The music's too loud to actually talk properly. Right? Hey, God, yeah, good, I'm good, yeah! Useless, you know? Yeah, really, it's like this. And they don't dance. They're just like, they're just dead and they're like this. That's what this is. Yeah. And they don't even dance, they hear everyone dances together, right? You know, they dance, circle, you know, just spin around, you know, throw someone in the air, maybe. Right? These places, no one dances with each other. Everyone has like small little group, four people there, four people there, four people. No one talks to each other. Alright? And then they're so stupid. They drink alcohol. You know what alcohol does? It makes you sick. So then they drink and then they just vomit at the end of the night. And then you're completely dehydrated. And then they wake up with this biggest headache. That's why on Sunday, here, you can't make too much noise and stuff, because it'll sleep. Can wake them up somehow. You see them on the beach, it's like a beach. But that's not party. If you want to enjoy the supreme enjoy, what's your problem? You know, everyone's trying to enjoy on their own. Yeison Sparsha Chabo Dupa Yomya Ayate. It's the source of misery. Dupa Yomya Ayate, that means it's the source of misery. Try to enjoy keeping contact with the material senses. Useless. Why? Ariyanta Vantakunteya Mateshya Mantabuddha. If you're intelligent, you'll know that at the beginning and end. We enjoy with no beginning and no end. Ain't no point like Kirtan Pari, because Kirtan Pari don't stop. It isn't. Sing the same song. I sing the same song 10 years. You know, and it gets better and better. There's something in it. And that's what intelligence is. Krishna, one who has good brain substance, they worship the Lord who is not black, is gold. Gold. And he's always chanting Krishna's name, Krishna. And he's appeared not on his own but with his super party or parties. You know, the Panchatattva. Say Panchatattva Mirityasiya. Ooh, Prima Bandari, Mujukariya. Panchanayutta Prima Kara Ashrada. Yatta Yatta Priyachishna. Banda Anaksham. The characteristics of Krishna are described to be like a storehouse of love God. And the Panchatattva appear, they broke open the seal and they drank that nectar of love of God. And the more they drank, the more their thirst grew. They dance again and again. Because it made it easier to drink that nectarian of God. If you dance in kirtan, it makes it easier to drink the nectar of the holy name. It's like, I want that nectar in life. Yes, you know, dance in kirtan. This is my obligation. You know, really, we sit there. Even the deities, they're standing up dancing. They're not sitting up.
Unless you're Virata Pandey and still have to put the garland, then maybe Gopi has to sit down for you. Yeah. So the Gopi has to eat. They dance again and again, make it easy to drink that nectar. In this way, they dance, they laugh, they cry, they sing, just like madmen. That's how they distribute love of God. This is who we're supposed to represent. This is what we're a part of. We're supposed to become madmen for Krishna. Actually, the soul is crazy in love with Krishna. That's the only, like, who is we go, oh, I need to fulfill myself emotionally, I'm not giving it too much philosophy. No, the emotional need of the soul is to exchange, loving exchanges with the Supreme Personality of Krishna. The reservoir of religion. Instead of tapping into the reservoir of misery, which is sense gratification, you should tap into the reservoir of pleasure by engaging Krishna service, the reservoir of pleasure. Akila rasa rita murti. Everything runs on the rasa. So we need to taste into that complete nectar form of rasa, of love. That is Krishna. In this way, that's how household life, any ashram, will become very good. There won't be a struggle so much. We have to work hard to introduce Krishna as much as possible. Whatever food we eat, we offer to the deity. That's what the deity is essentially. If the house belongs to the deity, the wife, the husband belongs to the deity, the kids belong to the deity, everything's for the deity. Everything's for the holy name. Everything's for the Shiva Bhagavata. You know. My spiritual master said, like, when he was temple president of Krishna Bhavan Mandir, he would always have someone, one devotee, he just random times would come into his office and say, hey, check this out, I read this in the Bhagavatam. I remember this one part of the purport. It says, anything attractive in this world is the smile of Krishna. And the beautiful sound of birds singing is actually Krishna's whisper. And that changes your consciousness completely. It's like a nectar, it's like a gift. So we give each other gifts in the form of nectar we've got from the scripture. We can do that. You say to your husband, to your wife, to your kids, hey, this is what I read. This is what I heard in the class. Here's some Krishna. Here's a good one. Chaitananda Prabhu used to wake up the devotees in the middle of the night and say, here's the Buddha. He did that at home. Hey, wake up, wake up. What's wrong, what's up? Oh, yeah. Because the thing is, like, I thought spiritual life was like, comes to Richard, no more fun anymore, no more games. You know, you just have to be serious and religious and pray. And praying is great because, you know, we need help every step of the way. We need help. Isn't that right? Yeah. So you pray like anything. Alright? But you do get help, and that's when you dance in ecstasy. It's like Krishna does Kavya Goswami. He says, you know, I'm the most born, I'm more born than a woman in school. You know, you think, oh, it's a self-esteem problem. But then later on, you know, whoever hears my name with this is all piety, goes to hell. I was like, what's this from? What's going on? You know? But then he says, but I've got the mercy of Lord Nityananda, he's so merciful. So then, you know, he's able to do this work of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Or like, we dance, even though we're so fallen and more fallen than anyone. Alright, there's nothing for us to be proud of, so you would think we'd be depressed. But because we've got the mercy of Mari Tai, Shishya, Bala, Jagannath Bala, Subraja, and we're in the secret at the moment, how do they get past you? I don't know, it looked a bit cold. It was a bit warm, but I think the breeze, you know, this cold breeze in Melbourne, made it hit them pretty hard. And, yeah, hopefully they get better. You know, everyone should write a get well soon card, you know. For Jagannath, make sure they get better Krishna. He was sick. Krishna is, you know. Every year we always do it, don't we? Gosh. Every year. And we always get satisfied.
Jagannath!
In this way, household life is very nice. Going together, Krishna consciousness, take a long child, we are Virginia, but we can serve it. Some of us may take time, we're all going to be adopted. By that unflinching service in all circumstances, and once you transcend the jewels of material nature, and we're on the platform of Brahman, Brahman will be able to help with it. And then we're on Brahman, from a good Prashant Brahman, the Zoroshiti, the Kanchiti, some of the Vaishnu, good teaching. But you know, you take for now that you are happy soul for Shabbat. You don't know man, you don't anchor, and you see everyone as equal, like equal vision. That's when real life starts. That's what life's supposed to be. Real life needs to always be on the spiritual platform, Brahmachari. So we have to be Brahmachari teachers. We have to be Brahmachari. Otherwise, if it's not favorable, then one should take the required steps to for one of us to add someone else, as recommended in the sastra. If it's not favorable, then these stages must be taken, not just for our benefit, but for the benefit of everyone. When one takes sannyas, vasudha, kumbha, the whole world becomes your family. And that's what Srila Prabhupada did. He took sannyas, even though his daughter wasn't married. Maybe it's a big deal. If your daughter's not married, you're taking sannyas. But if you didn't, we won't be here. We won't be reading Bhagavatam. Maybe we would be here, I don't know. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Today is the appearance of Lakshmidasa. And I was going to read from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but we probably don't have time. 10 minutes. And it's up to you guys. Would you like to hear from Chaitanya
Mahaprabhu?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes!
Okay. It's really nice. This book is so poetic. And there's some nectar in it. It's all nectar. Or it's some. Because we're in the Mahaprasad Mandir, I mean Mahaprabhu Mandir. I will read about Mahaprasad. Narada continues. So, in this book, it actually talks about, this is leading up to this part, it actually talks about how the form of Kriyanga appears. And then Narada is lamenting about Kali, everyone's fallen, Brahmins, they're just pretending to be religious for material benefit. But everyone's fallen, what are we going to do? They help each other out. So he goes to the Bhagavata, and goes to Krishna, what are we going to do? Same time, Rukmini is lamenting for Krishna. What's wrong with you, David? What's up? Well, you know, your devotee is Radharani, you don't know the love they feel for you. This, you don't know, it is so amazing, and you don't get to feel it, I imagine. It's like, really? Yeah. Okay, and then the Gauranga form appeared. And then Narayana, sorry, fakes it, so the golden form appeared. He goes, yeah, I'm going to come, I'm going to put down the youth down, I'm going to save the form souls, I'm going to do this, that, and he's like, oh. He goes to Namashari and sees a little bit there. He goes, what are you? I just saw amazing thing. I saw this golden form of the Lord's going to come and tell you and deliver everyone. But no, I don't believe it. Yeah, it's true. No, I don't believe it. No, it's true. It's true. And he goes, I'm going to tell everyone. Tell all of everyone. So he goes to the Shiva. And then he says, what do you mean? He goes, I saw this golden form. So now he's a little Shiva party. Now we continue speaking to Parvati about Shiva. Hearing this conversation between Krishna and Uddhava, I became dumbstruck, although I myself have been on the path of devotion for a long time. And I have been constantly chanting all the name of the Lord, still I had no idea about the potency of Lord Krishna's Mahaprasada. Simply on the strength of the Lord's Mahaprasada, Uddhava had become a powerful, pure devotee creature of the Supreme Lord. In the presence of the Lord, Uddhava praised that Mahaprasada. Within my heart, however, I felt the pride because I had never tasted the Lord's Mahaprasada. Then I thought of how to please the Lord with my actions and Narada's name. How am I going to get Mahaprasada? Uddhava is such a good God, I want this Mahaprasada. So that he would give me the taste of the Mahaprasada, with this idea I visited Vaikuntha and rendered various services to Lakshmi. Being satisfied with me, Lakshmi Devi's affection said, "Tell me now. What do you want? I'll give you a boon." After hearing your offer, I decided to reveal my heart's desire. Before the end, I told Lakshmi, "For a long time, I have been feeling pain within my heart. Everyone knows that I am your servant, but somehow I never got the chance to taste the Lord's Mahaprasada. Please glance favorably upon me and give me the boon of receiving a handful of Lord Narayan's Mahaprasada. This is my own desire." Lakshmi became astonished and surprised to hear my request. She then submissively said, "Nara, Lord Narayan ordered me not to distribute his Mahaprasada remnants to anyone. How can I break the order of the Lord, my dear Nara? But listen, I will disobey his order and give you some. Considering my predicament, however, you must wait for some time. Then I'll collect his Mahaprasada for you." Fully understanding my situation, Lakshmitapa Rani appropriately responded with such sweet and compassionate words. Sometime later, the Lord in a jolly mood took Lakshmi Devi by the hand and sat it by his side himself. At that time, Lakshmi Devi wanted to ask the Lord about the Mahaprasada, but she feared his reaction. In a very sincere voice, Lakshmi Devi said, "My Lord, I have something to ask you, but I am afraid to speak. I have a problem. I need your help. My Lord, please say your maidservant. Please listen, O Lord of all transcendent qualities. I am holding your feet." Smiling slightly with a sign of questioning in his eyes, Lord Narayan cast a glance toward his Sudarshan face. Beginning to tremble, Sudarshan spoke humbly to the Lord, "My Lord, I don't know the cause, but it seems that Lakshmi Devi has a problem." Then Lakshmi Devi said, "It's not Sudarshan's fault. But Narada Muni's request has been put to me in anxiety. Although nobody knows that Narada has served for 12 years, being pleased, I offered him a boon. Narada repeatedly asked for the same thing. He wants nothing other than your Mahaprasada remnants, my Lord. Although I have no power to disobey your order, I carelessly gave this promise to Narayan Muni. Oh my Lord, please save me and engage me in your service." Understanding her dilemma, Lord Narayan said, "Listen, my dear Lakshmi, you made a big mistake. Without my knowledge, you can secretly give my remnants to Narayan." After some days had passed, the mother of the universe, Lakshmi, gave me some of Lord Narayan's Mahaprasada remnants. I honored the Mahaprasada to my full satisfaction. Of course, the incomplete effulgence of Lord Narayan's chant, incomparable effulgence of Lord Narayan's chant of the form, defeats the combined brilliance of millions of moons and millions of suns, and its indescribable beauty puts millions of Kamadeva's cupids to shame. Yet, by the touch of Lord Mahaprasada, my own effulgence and spiritual potency has increased 100 times. Feeling intense spiritual ecstasy, I chanted Hare Krishna and played my veena as I traveled to Kailash to see him. Narayan is chanting around the universe and the veena chanting around the world for Hare Krishna. Lord Shiva said to Narayana, "I must say, Narayana, you look extraordinary. Tell me, why do you appear so speechless, a charge of Well, she was asking Arya. After hearing Arya describe his experience, well, she was scolding him.
Narya, after getting Lord Mahaprasad, which is really a thing, you ate it all yourself? Without offering me any? Out of affection, you have come to see me, but why didn't you bring any of this rare treasure?
Lord, hearing what she was saying was a dissatisfaction, Narya hung his head down the shed. Then Narya remembered that he still had a morsel of Mahaprasad. With great delight, he quickly gave it to Mahesh, Lord Shiva, and immediately Lord Shiva ate the Mahaprasad. Then, to everyone's surprise, Mahesh Thakur, Lord Shiva, began dancing uncontrollably in a joyous ecstasy of love of God. The earth trembled under the pounding of his feet. Everyone became amazed, seeing mountains and river rocking back and forth in ecstasy due to Lord Shiva's powerful dance. Mother Earth was also rocking dangerously. Overcome by the bliss of pure love of Krishna, Lord Shiva totally forgot himself. His devastating dance threatened to drive the earth planet down to Rasatala, the bottom of the universe. The Hood of Anantadev was stretching back to the point of touching the back of Kurma. Startled by this strange tingling sensation, Kurma poked his head out of his cell and stared at Anantadev. So if you know the structure of the universe, then it makes sense. Lord Shiva's loud and important roaring of the Lord's holy name bounced off the dome-like covering of the universe, reverberated throughout the 10 directions, seeing the whole universe shaking in ecstasy and unable to tolerate the way Lord Shiva was dancing. Mother Bhumi ran to Mount Kailash. That's real Shiva. With folded hands, Mother Bhumi appealed to Goddess Satyani, O Parvati Devi, please, I will die if your husband keeps dancing. I see that the whole material world is also in great danger, so you better do something if you want to save the creation from destruction. Here, after hearing Mother Bhumi's plea, Parvati rushed to the place where Lord Shiva was dancing in a trance of divine ecstasy. With folded hands, Parvati Devi spoke some harsh words to break Lord Shiva's absorption. His ecstasy broken by Parvati's strong words, Lord Shiva regained his self-consciousness. Feeling very sad, he said, Devi, why did you just... What you did was not proper. Why did you interrupt my ecstasy? By doing so, you have practically killed me. You are acting like my enemy. I have never tasted so much of this before in my whole life. Why did you stop it? Feeling great distress, Parvati spoke again in doleful words. My Lord, just see the earth before you. The weight of your dancing has pushed you down to the bottom of the universe. Because you're threatening to destroy the whole universe, I spoke such strong words to you. Please forgive me for my offense. With a smile of satisfaction, Lord Shiva pardoned his mind. Seeing her husband in a relaxation, Parvati humbly asked him a question. Prabhu, every day you dance in ecstasy of pure Krishna consciousness. Why is it today your dancing is pushed to the earth out to Rasatala? Your spiritual content as a brilliance of temple and suns. I've never seen you exhibit such a magnificent form. Please tell me, why is it that today you display such unlimited rapture of Krishna prayer? Lord Shiva replied, David, listen to the joyful news of my good fortune. Today, the great sage Narada gave me some of Lord Narayana's Mahaprasad remnants. Although glorified in the Vedas, Vishnu's Mahaprasad is inconceivably rare. In all three worlds, it is very difficult to get the Lord's remnants, which are mixed with the nectar of Krishna's lips. Today, my life is a success. By the mercy of Narada Muni, I receive Lord Narayana's Mahaprasad. This is my real wealth and source of my ecstasy. Noticeably disturbed by her husband's statement, Mahamaya Parvati said, for all this time, I thought that you were always kind and merciful to me. You don't care about me. As a husband and wife, we are one, for you accepted me as half of your body. But today, your false love is revealed. It's all just pretension. You cheated me.
After getting that ready at table, Mahabisha, you ate it all yourself. You didn't even give me the comments. Lord Shiva, feeling slightly guilty, said, "Oh, Bhavani, you have no right to receive this transcendental." It continues on. Do you want me to continue? Yeah?
Yes.
Over time. Okay. If you need to go to this, but should we stop? Okay.
Wind it up. Just.
Yeah, this is the Parvati's mercy upon us. These words inflamed Parvati with furious anger. Parvati said, "One of my names is Vaishnavi, and I also have the worship of Lord Vishnu. Now, before this assembly, I make a solemn vow. If Lord Narayana bestows his compassion upon me, I will make sure that Lord's Mahaprasad will be distributed to everyone throughout the universe, even to the dogs and jackals." At that moment, the Lord of Vaikuntha, Vishnu himself, arrived in Kailash to uphold Parvati's promise. Respectively, Parvati stood up and offered obeisances to the Lord. With tears in her eyes, she led her aside and told the problem to the Lord. In a joyful mood, I, Lokchandas, narrate the story. Vairagupta continued speaking to the Dhamma Pandit. Then Lord Vishnu spoke in a sweet voice, "Katyayani, don't be in ignorance. You are my Adyashakti, and through you I manifest the entire creation. I know that you have devotion for me. You are my Prakriti's Rupini. You always engage in my devotional service. Without you, the material creation can't exist. The whole creation works with you and your husband, Lord Shiva, as Hara and Hori, knowing that you are both my very self. Pleasing you removes the misconception that you and Lord Shiva are different from me. Please be assured that I will keep your promise. I will personally distribute my Mahaprasad to everyone in the universe." Lord Vishnu, the possessor of jewel-like qualities, continues to listen carefully. "Now I'll tell you a secret about an ancient episode which will alleviate the miseries of the material world. No one knows the inner meanings of the story concerning the demigods churning the ocean of nectar. They used Mandara Mountain as a churning rod and Vasuki, the king of snakes, as a rope. The first object they produced from the churning was Kalpa Taru, a tree which gives unlimited wealth and fulfills all the person's desires. Within a special tree, there was a transcendental fulgence emanating from the beautiful form of Lord Chaitanya, the supreme embodiment of pure mercy. There has never been a form of incarnation equal to the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. He is the fountainhead of all incarnations. He will appear in the world displaying his transcendental pastimes by preaching Krishna consciousness and will distribute my mercy to the people in general. In the age of Kali, I will manifest the golden form of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu to propagate the sanctity of the congregation chanting my holy names. Taking the form of the golden avatar, I will fulfill your vow, Bhavati, and give love and Krishna to everyone. Please keep this confidential topic secret. In the form of Lord Gauranga, the essence of all incarnations of the pool of all transcendental qualities, I will deliver all people of Kali." The preceding conversation between Lord Vishnu and Bhavati, which is called Vishnu Katyayani Samvada, was taken from the Paramahansa. King Prataparita, who was an ocean of transcendental qualities, distributed these teachings throughout the empire. Narayana continued talking to Lord Shiva. "Mahesh, the Lord ordered me to announce his upcoming appearance in Kalipa. At that time, the Lord and his eternal service will descend to earth to remove all calamities. The Supreme Lord in the form of Lord Narayana will appear in the Brahman family." Lord Shiva and Parvati became very happy after hearing good news. Bliss filled the home of Lord Shiva as everyone loudly chanted the holy names of the Lord. Sounds of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, vibrated everywhere, playing sweetly on his veena. Shri Lord Chandasa Koki
Jai,
Shri Prabhupada Ki
Jai,
Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.